This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message, and if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
It was probably well known that Jesus was operating out of Capernaum, so they end up heading up there, and they find him up there. And the question they ask is, Rabbi, when did you get here? You know, I don't know about you, but that sounds like just sort of nervous small talk that they're trying to make, because they're not sure what to say to him at this point. And they just sort of throw this out. It's not unlike earlier in this gospel. You know, John the Baptist, at one point, before he was arrested and when he's continuing his ministry, John had disciples, and one day Jesus was going by. This is after he had baptized Jesus. And he points to Jesus and says, look, there goes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so some of the disciples start following Jesus. Well, they're behind him, apparently, and suddenly he turns around and just says, what do you want? And they say, well, where are you staying? Same kind of thing. You know, sometimes we don't know exactly what to say to Jesus, but that's okay, because he takes us. He begins with us where we are. So they ask him this question. But what John has also told us about Jesus is that he knows everyone's heart. And he knows everyone's heart not to judge us and condemn us, but rather to begin where we are and begin speaking to what's really going on in our hearts. And sometimes there are things that need to be confronted because we're going the wrong direction and it's self-destructive. Other times, we're going in the right direction and he loves to encourage us. Well, in this case, Jesus has perceived that these same people, and we don't know how many are there, but these same people who wanted to make him king still have the same motive. Because he tells them this, hey, I'm telling you the truth. The reason you want to be with me is because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. In other words, he is creating a dichotomy here. These folks are focused on earthly things. There's very few things more earthly than just having your stomach filled. They're focused on that. That's not bad, right? We pray, give us this day our daily bread. God knows we need our daily, we need to be fed. He created us that way. But the question is, what's your whole life focused on? What are you really looking for? Because it's not really a question of your heart, your stomach being filled. What's really important is your heart being filled. So he says, they're focusing on earthly things, and they missed the miraculous aspect of what was going on here, that all suddenly this bread and fish appeared, and they ate until they were full. That didn't happen in those days, not often. He says to them, don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. Jesus is always, always, always trying to focus our lives on eternity, because that eternity lasts a lot longer than all the time in the world, that all the time in all of history. That's where we're going to be forever in eternity. And by the way, every human being on the planet that's ever lived, including us here, is immortal. The only question, and this is Jesus' concern, is where we will spend that eternity. That's the only question. Everybody's immortal. Everybody's going to live forever. The only question is, where are you going to live forever? And what Jesus is trying to do, what Jesus wants, is that they will be living forever in his family with his Father for all eternity. So he's saying, look, get your eyes off these things that are going to pass away, that are perishable, and get your eyes on what God's doing and what God wants for your life. Lift up your eyes. Stop walking around with your head down. Lift up your eyes and see what God's doing. He says, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. By the way, that's a term Jesus used to refer to himself. And again, it's connecting right back to what God had done with the Israelites in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. It's a term from Daniel the prophet, where Daniel talks about the Son of Man who is like God himself on earth. Well, that's what Jesus is telling them. He says this, for God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. Remember at Jesus' baptism? God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. And later on in at the Transfiguration, there's a similar thing. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Just like Moses had told the Israelites, God is going to send a prophet like me. Listen to him. And Jesus is that one. He's the final one that God has sent. So, they reply saying this. We want to perform God's works too. What should we do? We're making progress, apparently. So we want to do God's works too. Now, you got to remember, for these folks, the way things had been set up was that the religious life, the faith life, was following following a lot of rules, especially with the religious leaders they had, who took all the laws and regulations in the Old Testament, by the way, 632 of them. I didn't count them, someone else did, thank you. But 632 of them. And on top of that, they had added the Pharisees and religious leaders and teachers of the law had added all these other things. It was like theological bureaucracy, you know, more and more, you know, 0.7.85, paragraph 2, you know, just driving people crazy, but being a burden on them. And so their whole context is, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? And listen to Jesus' answer. This is the only work God wants from you. Stop right there. Last time I checked, only means one. Only means one, not 632 plus whatever was added on by their religious leaders. One. You know, I can remember sometimes one thing. And Jesus saying, there's only one thing he wants you to do. I would be like, oh my goodness, you're kidding me? I've only got one now? And not this whole encyclopedia of things to always worry about whether God's mad at me or not or whatever? Only one? What's that one thing? Tell me. Believe in the one he has sent. Believe in the one he has sent. Now, let's think about this. What's it mean to believe in someone? And clearly, he's saying, believe in me, Jesus, the one God has sent. What's it mean to believe in someone? What's it mean to believe in Jesus? You know, in this context, it doesn't mean simply believe like I believe when I go out those doors, there may be some of those devil legs left. Right? No. It has to do with a relationship which involves trust. If we say we believe in somebody, it goes far beyond than simply saying, I know they exist. It means that we have a deep trust in them that's gained, that we've learned, that's gained by experience in other ways. Believe in the one, that's the only thing. But let's talk about this and the implications for our life. And in doing that, here's what'll help us. Okay, let me try this. Okay. No, didn't. This. What else we got here? Oh, got some bottles of water. Another one there. What else we got in here? We got some pads and stuff. All this, what in the world? Got a little shaker thing. Did you know that was there, Betty Sue? I could keep going. There's a bunch of other junk in here. There's a flashlight. Right? Let me see if this will work. No. They're all falling down. What's up? What's up? We all know what's up. It's gravity, right? It's gravity. You know, we could... I'll tell you this. I believe in gravity. I knew those things weren't going to float up to the ceiling. I believe in gravity with all my heart. And I have for a very, very, very long time. And I'll tell you, one of the most important things we need to teach our kids is to believe in gravity, correct? We've got to teach, and you know, we teach, we don't want them playing with matches and we don't want them playing with sharp objects. We can lock up knives, we can lock up the matches and the lighters, but you can't lock up gravity. We have to teach them, from the time they are tiny, about gravity. Let me tell you something. When my son was, Court was about, maybe 14, oh, he started walking early. When he was maybe 12 months old, I don't know, 13, 14 months old, if you came into our house, you'd come in, and if you didn't know, you'd come in, and you'd say, or you'd think, it looks like there was a very polite, controlled bar fight here. Because all the chairs around our kitchen table, they're on their side, like they'd been knocked over. If you went into our dining room, all the dining room chairs are on their side, like they'd been knocked over. They hadn't been knocked over. We had to put them there and keep them there, because if we didn't, he'd climb up on the chair, onto the table, and jump off. And so we had to begin trying to teach him about gravity, that bad things happen when you jump off something that's really not even very high. How high is the table? Right? And it's one of the most important things we can teach our kids, because if they don't understand that, they are going to get injured. You know, take a look at the call to worship. Get your bulletin. Take a look at the call to worship and look at that first line that I read. And by the way, this is from Proverbs 9, 12. Okay, good. Everybody agrees with that, hopefully, or we might. But you know what? Let me take it and paraphrase it for us with gravity. Fear of gravity is the foundation of safety. Think about it. Fear of gravity, in other words, respect, acknowledgement, knowing what gravity can do, is the foundation of safety. You know, I think about I've lived with gravity so long, for over 69 years now. I've lived with gravity so long, just like you. We respect it. We live with it every day, but we don't have to think about it because we're used to it. How are we used to it? We're careful, especially when you reach a certain age, careful going up and down stairs. One little moment where we forget about gravity and we can end up in the emergency room, right? I mean, if I came over here to gravity, and I mean, just from this top step, and I decide just to let myself go, bad things would happen. There'd be blood on the floor probably. I'd break my shoulder, right? You believe in gravity. You do, and I do too, and it's a good thing because gravity's real. You know, and gravity isn't a bad thing. It just sort of is. For example, you know, if it wasn't for gravity, I couldn't stand here balanced on my 2 feet. What I've learned is how to work with gravity so I'm balanced. So I'm not leaning over this way or that way, right? And there's all sorts of other ways gravity's good. You know, we wouldn't have sports if it wasn't for gravity. Think about this. When a pitcher pitches a ball, it'd be pretty boring if every time they pitched a ball, the ball went straight up. What's the point of that, right? Instead, a pitcher learns how to manipulate the ball so that they work with gravity so it curves or a slider or changeup, whatever. And that's interesting. Or a quarterback throwing a football or somebody playing tennis. It's all learning how to manipulate gravity with other objects. That's all it. And it's entertaining and it's fun. But make no mistake, every one of us here believes in gravity with our whole selves. We do. You know, the reason I can stand up here, the reason you could walk into here, the reason you can walk out is because you've learned you have a center of gravity. You have a center of gravity. Somewhere, depending on who, right? Somewhere around here, you have a center of gravity. If you hadn't learned, and you know, we don't even, it's something that we're learning to walk. That's what's happening when a child is learning to walk, is they're learning. They have a center of gravity that allows them to stand upright and to walk without falling. Every one of us has a center of gravity right here, somewhere, physically, that allows us to move through life safely. You know, this is the amazing, this is another thing. When you look at gymnasts, and how in the world, I mean, I'm not wired that way, right? Very few of us are. When you look at gymnasts, and they're flipping around, and they're doing, or divers, when they're coming and flipping around, they have learned where their center of gravity is. And they can manipulate their body in fabulous ways that entertain us and that are incredible. But they know where their center of gravity is. Jesus tries to tell these people, he's trying to tell them they have a spiritual center of gravity. He's trying to get their minds off just what they can see, what they need on a daily basis, the things that are perishable, that are going to pass away. He's trying to get their minds off that onto their spiritual center of gravity. You know, your physical center of gravity allows you, as we to be balanced, to go through life without falling down every 10 seconds. We go through life knowing that you can't just fall off this platform, which is not high at all, or bad things are going to happen. All right? We go through life with that. Jesus wants these people and us to go through life with a spiritual center of gravity so our lives are not imbalanced, so that bad things are not happening because we're ignorant of our spiritual center of gravity. He wants us to go through life not being injured because we're ignorant of our spiritual center of gravity. And what is this spiritual center of gravity? He's our spiritual center of gravity. Jesus. Our spiritual center of gravity is not some esoteric knowledge or ideas. Our spiritual center of gravity is a relationship with a person who walks with us through life and helps and keeps us balanced, who keeps us relating to the world, to each other, and relating to ourselves in ways that are healthy and whole so that we are not wounded spiritually. And when he's talking to these people are already wounded spiritually. Just like we've been, for those of us who know Jesus, who we were wounded spiritually. You know, that's one way of thinking about being a sinner, is that we don't have a spiritual center of gravity. That we're cut off from God. We don't have a relationship with God. You know, I didn't look this up, but I know on early on planes, and I think on spacecraft still too. You know, they've got gyroscopes, right? They got gyroscopes that spin about when things are balanced and things are coordinated and balanced, so that they know what's up and what's down. You know, in space, you can't tell what's up and what's down. It's all relative, right? Well, when human race walked away from God, it's like that internal gyroscope that kept its balance was gone. And suddenly, bad things start happening in the human race. Why do you think, you know, these kids that are breaking into our cars, what do you think? There's no spiritual center of gravity. They're lost, right? There's no, all other criminals, on any level, wherever they are, no spiritual center of gravity. And so they hurt others, and really they're hurting themselves. Jesus says, this is the only thing you need. You need me as your spiritual center of gravity. You need a relationship with me, the living person. You need relationship with me, who will be your spiritual center of gravity, so that when you're getting ready to do something like step off something and you're going to be not physically injured but spiritually injured in a relationship, for example, he's there walking with us, guiding us in the right way we should go, so that we're safe, so that others about us, around us, are safe. But more importantly, so that our relationship, our eternal relationship with our Heavenly Father is whole and peaceful, and we know we're deeply, deeply loved by our Heavenly Father, and that He cares for us, and He wants us to be part of His family forever. He cherishes us. That's why Jesus came, to be the one who is our spiritual center of gravity, so that we can become part of his family, his Father's family. The only family that's truly whole, the only family that's truly perfect, the only love that's truly perfect and unconditional, always healing, always nurturing. The one thing, the only thing, let Jesus, welcome Jesus into your life to be the center of gravity of your life. Believe in the one that God has sent. Let us pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. Again, if you'd like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. Thank you very much, and God bless you today.